Since some time back, I thought when brothers, sisters from different country, when you see quite a big number gathered here, and I thought just showing my face not sufficient. I want to show how brilliant this brain. So in any way, I am one of you. We firstly, entire sentient beings. See, we have to think the well-being of entire sentient being, including animals, insects, so fish, like that. Then we cannot do much. Other animals, as well as sentient beings on other planet, only prayer, nothing can be done. Now, only 7 billion human beings in this planet. You see, we have same brain. So, different language, not much important, but since we have same brain, so we can communicate. So I always feel when we pray for entire sentient being, and the realistic way, only 7 billion human beings here. So, I myself always consider one of the 7 billion human beings. You all part of the 7 billion human beings. Now, according to some scientists, now they say basic human nature is more compassionate. If basic human nature is anger, then not much hope. Then let us fight, kill each other. But basic human nature is compassion, compassionate. It's quite clear. More compassionate. You understand? Language? You understand? Oh, quite windy.
I see. You should wear. Yes.
Quite cold here. Not like Thailand. Okay. So, the scientists now, medical scientists, they say constant anger, constant hatred is actually eating our immune system. Other hand, if we keep a more compassionate heart, it is very good for our health. So therefore, you see, it is become very, very clear. Since basic human nature is more positive, more compassionate, now it is important to use human brain for promotion of that value. Today, unfortunate thing is, when children, young children, you see, they don't care. what other children's sort of, what's the nationality or faith. So long, children, each other, showing smile and play together, the children. You see, they simply play together on the basis of oneness of human being. Eventually, when we join education, then we too much emphasis differences, nationality, or religious faith, and even within same religious faith or nationality, we again, you see, make, you see, as a distinction, wealthier family, poor family. In India, I think the caste system, that's very bad. At young age, they don't care. But gradually we show our young brothers, sisters, yes, there's differences of caste system because of caste, well, different caste. I think I always, you see, praise India. India, I think among human civilization, different civilization, I think civilization, Indus Valley civilization, I think eventually highly developed about knowledge, our inner world, like that. So now today, ancient India's knowledge about emotion, about mind, is very relevant to today's world. Now today, we are passing through some kind of crisis of emotion, isn't it? So such period, ancient Indian knowledge, how to tackle our emotion, irrespective of whether believer or non-believer. 1,000-year-old Indian tradition of secular way. And India's understanding about secular means respect all religions and also respect non-believer. So therefore, you see, I myself, you see, the student of ancient Indian knowledge, I really, when I study in Nalanda tradition, the Indian tradition, I was very, very lazy student. So I very reluctant to study. Because our way study is, firstly, we have to learn, memorize these root text. Like Abhisamaya, Alankara, Mulakarika, like that. We have to learn by heart. So at that time, I do not know the meaning, so I really feel great burden. So now gradually, I realize the thing which I study from young age, 6, 7 years old. Now, the subject which I study with great reluctance, and occasionally my tutor threat me with weep. Now, gradually I realize those subjects which I learned is really very, very useful to keep inner peace. In order to keep inner peace, you see, you need self-confidence. In order to develop self-confidence, the truthful, honest is the key factor. then you get self-confidence. Self-confidence is the basis of willpower. Okay. So your mind always remain fresh, no matter what difficulties surround, but you can keep peace of mind. That's India's tradition. So I usually describe myself as a messenger of ancient Indian thought, wherever I go. Okay. Now sometimes I feel, historically, you Indian were our guru, our teacher. We are just a chela, student of ancient Indian masters. So now, whether fortunate or unfortunate, now our historical masters now neglect this knowledge. So we student of these Indian, a student of Indian master, now we have to, now opportunity to carry this message. Since you see, guru or teacher, not much pay attention. The modern India, now you pay more attention about Western education, Western way of life. Neglect about 1,000-year-old your own tradition. So now India, basically, as I mentioned earlier, wonderful. Then since, you see, 2,000 years, the Buddha very much emphasis against caste system. Now, unfortunately, still in this country, caste system there. Now, time come, you must work hard. You see, India's constitution give us equal right. But century-old sort of old thinking or caste system. This, I think, one of the drawback, backwardness of this country. I want to share with you. Okay. So now, here, as I mentioned earlier, we all essentially brothers, sisters. Mainly, the main reason, this brain, 7 billion human beings are same. One time, I was in South Africa, and Soweto, I visited there. I met one, I went, one family, the black, you local black African. Then I told, now you already achieved democracy, equal, white and black. Constitution give you that same right, but you need mentally, you see, more self-confidence. And with that, work hard to become equal. I expressed that. Then one native African, he introduced me as a teacher. He told me, no, the black people, brain more inferior. You see, cannot be equal with white people. I'm much disturbed when that person, you see, mentioned that. Then I argue, no, if we together go to the brain specialist, ask any differences due to color, differences on brain, the brain specialist say, no, 100% same. They will say that. And then I also mentioned, we Tibetan also, in our own country, sometimes, you see, the narrow-minded, hardliner Chinese officials, they consider Tibetan backward. You see, their brain is something, inferior, like that. So then, The only thing is opportunity. When Tibetan, handful of Tibetan escaped from Tibet and settled in India and then get opportunity study, then we also become top. I told him, you see, the potential, every human being same. I argue with him. And then, lastly, with long sigh, well, like that, and he say, now he convinced that we are equal, we are same. That moment, I feel tremendous relief. At least I change one human being's mind. So therefore, mentally, emotionally, we all same human being. The emotional level, anger, hatred, fear, we all have, including this person also, me also. At the same time, we also have the same potential like compassion, forgiveness, tolerance. And then, between these constructive emotion and destructive emotion, destructive emotion ultimately based on ignorance, short-sighted, narrow-minded. One American scientist, he's now age over 100 years. When I first met him, his age 84. He, you see, told me, so as is on also the Kasadi Ming
Psychiatrist.
You see, he helped to people whose mind much disturbed due to anger. His conclusion is when person feel angry, the object appears very negative. But actually, that negativeness, 90% of that negativeness is mental projection. So this is exactly ancient Indian psychology, exactly mentioned that. So this destructive emotion based on ignorance, basics of destructive emotion, you see, based on ignorance. The constructive emotion, such as compassion, love, forgiveness, tolerance, you see, these emotion very much based on reason. So therefore, if we pay more attention, then the destructive emotion, since no proper base or no reason, just emotion, and then other sort of opposite side of emotion have solid basis. So we can use our brain for further strengthening these positive, constructive emotions. I think some people from Tushita, I think you should pay more. You should pay more attention for study, like Shantadeva's book. The, out of 10 chapters, 6th chapter, 8th chapter, very, very helpful to argue with anger, hatred, negative emotion, and also self-centered attitude. Then, other hand, you see the serious argument of Azota, proof, altruism is the best way to fulfill your own interest. So the Shantadeva's book, I think those who are Buddhist, or even non-Buddhist, I think worthwhile to read the 6th chapter and 8th chapter. The 9th chapter, philosophical view, whether there is creator or not, whether there is independent self or not. So this is quite complicated. The 6th chapter and 8th chapter, the Nalanda master, the Shantideva. Wonderful. I also, found that teaching since I think 67, I received teaching of that book. Since then, I quite so often read that book and think. So that really start transformation of my emotion. Wonderful book. So therefore, basically, destructive emotion, no proper basis, sound basis. The constructive emotion, there is proper base. So now point is, existing our education system very much oriented about material value. So whole generation who come through that kind of education, eventually much sort of neglect about our basic, our human value, just material value. And then when we talk about material thing, we only use a concern about because of sensorial experiences, seeing something nice, hearing some music, and then good smell, good taste, and touch, including sex. These just is it a sensorial level experiences, not mental level experiences. Frankly speaking, Western psychology, when we discuss, they only mention about sensory level consciousness, not mental level. In this country, before Buddha come, I think over 3,000 years, you see, here, ancient Indian, you see, investigate about emotion, about mind. So, before Buddha come, you already develop the practice of shamatha and practice of vipassana. These things are method or instrument to transform our emotion, not sensory level. This is some sort of, you can sort of experiment, think mentally. Then the sensory level, you see, we can neutralize. We not follow after sort of sensorial experiences, but mental level. So sensory level, we cannot practice of meditation. Mental level, we can practice of single-pointed mind. I think sensory level, I look just one in the sun, eventually your eye feel uncomfortable. Isn't it? But it's don't care. So this is limitation. Sensory level, consciousness. Now mental level, there is real potential. We can develop a certain sort of concept or certain feeling in mental level, year by year, decade by decade. You see, you can really, you see, develop mental level. Sensory level, limitation. Clear. So therefore, in order to do that, it is very important to know about the whole system of mind. Irrespective of whether it's a believer or non-believer, it is useful, you see, to know the whole system of our mind. According to my own experience, you see, the real troublemaker is mental level, not physical. So therefore, now time come, whether religious minded or not, you should know something about system of our emotion, system of our mind, so that you can face the serious problem there, but will not disturb your inner strength or mind like that. So now, education. These days, I describing the in education, we also include hygiene of physical. So now, we should include hygiene of emotion in our education. That's very important. Now, how to deal destructive emotion. That's hygiene of emotion. So now, here, brothers, sisters, I think, please pay more attention about our inner world, our mind. Then with that, some knowledge. You see, the system of our emotion, then you see some sort of method to tackle these emotions purely as a secular way. Should not mix with religious belief. Okay. As a human brother, sisters, these things are something very relevant. So I want to share with you. Firstly, one individual like you, like me, try to develop inner peace, not through faith, but through reasoning, but through analytical meditation. Then one person share with other 10 your friends. Then each 10 person, you see, and again share their own another 10 friends. So that means 100 people. Through that way, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, go like that. So you should not think, world problem is huge. I just individual, I cannot do much. Don't think that way. The human society, humanity, combination of individual. Change must start from individual. Then, as I mentioned earlier, like kasa, kasa.
Like ripple effect.
Or one person with some awareness and implement dangerous life, then becoming much more peaceful and share with more people. Go that way. I think that's the only way to create more peaceful humanity, more compassionate humanity. On the basis, we should emphasize on the sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. On the practical level also, now that's something very important. Now today's many problems which we are facing is too much emphasis on secondary level of differences. So since the secondary level of differences is causing division and develop strong feeling of we and they, so the only remedy for that is emphasis on oneness of 7 billion human beings. Okay. Then basically we are a social animal. I always consider I am just another human being. With that feeling, I get much more benefit. Wherever I go, I always feel I am just another human being. So when I met someone, human brothers, sisters. So there's no barrier. If I consider I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, I'm Dalai Lama, so you create some barrier. if I have too much emphasis, I'm His Holiness Dalai Lama. Then I really feel lonely. Out of 7 billion human beings, only one Dalai Lama. So if I too much emphasis Dalai Lama, then it actually creates my own sort of mind, more sort of loneliness. When I emphasis, I am just a human being. Out of 7 billion human beings, the rest of 7 billion human beings are our brothers, sisters. Then, wherever I go, I always smile. I always teasing, joking. You see, that attitude, me personally, get immense benefit. Feel happy. If I have too much emphasis on the secondary level of differences, and then some fear, some sort of, what say, anxiety, these things happen. When I emphasis, we are same, then these things immediately disappear, like that. So I want to share with you, utilize basic human nature, that's more compassion. Now, I think everybody, particularly Indian, now should think more seriously how to introduce in so-called modern education about education, about our emotion and inner value. Strictly secularly, you should think seriously. Okay. Then the rest of my brothers, sisters also, you see, should think more. Till education field not much develop, some change, then in the family, you should provide maximum love towards your own children and other children. These children are the future of the world. I usually make as a distinction, generation of 20th century and generation of 21st century. Myself, bronze generation of 20th century. Now that gone. Now our real hope is this 21st century should be peaceful century. No longer violence, no longer killing. 20th century become century of violence. According to some historian, they say in 20th century, through violence, over 200 million people killed. So now that kind of situation should not repeat on now 21st century. So people, generation of 21st century, now you should make some effort with vision. Then at this moment, we are the Hasuda. Early part of 21st century. So if we make attempt, effort through education, through knowledge now, then after 20 years, 30 years, I think some positive result will come. So my life will not see these things. But the generation of 21st century can see, can enjoy more peaceful world. So that's my, wherever I go, I always talk. I always share. This is my thought. Now I'm now 82-year-old person. At age 16, I lost my freedom. Age 24, I lost my own country. And the whole my life, a lot of difficulties. Problem. So the difficulties is, I think, difficult sort of, I mean, because of the difficult period is the best period to learn more experience. So some young American, you say, your life, quite prosperity, quite good, so a little bit spoiled. Then you see some European people, when I met, who experienced Second World War, First World War, So you see, these people, because of difficult life, so they already so kazuta. I mean, tested. So they kazur tough, tough. The people whose life mahasar was the easy way, and then sometimes spoiled. So now, there is real hope. There is a real potential to change our way of thinking through education. And through that way, our society can be not only just materialistic culture, materialistic society, but genuine human society. We have this body as well as this emotion. So material thing provides us physical comfort. Physically comfortable, but mentally much disturbed. And then always keep alcohol or drugs. So these are, you see, lack of knowledge how to tackle our emotion through thinking, through mind itself. Okay. So that I want to share with you. And then second, my commitment is the religious harmony. Now here, India is the example. Really wonderful. In at least the last, I think, over 3,000 years, in this country developed different spiritual tradition. In the philosophical field, big differences. So a lot of argument, intellectual level argument, not physical argument. So this country, because a lot of different sort of spiritual tradition with different philosophy developed, so religious harmony, ahimsa, come. Ahimsa, non-violence, before Buddha, what did it come? So now India, over 3,000 years, the India's tradition, wonderful tradition, that means ahimsa, respect all religion, and also respect non-believer. That's, I think, really greatness of India. Because of this tradition, today, now we can see India is the only country where all different religious traditions live together. No problem. Occasionally, some problem due to some politicians. That's understandable. But overall, India, I think all major religious tradition, that means beside homegrown different religious tradition, and from outside, from Middle East, Judeo-Christian tradition, Islam tradition, and before that, Zoroastrian, Parsi tradition, come this country. Peacefully, remain very peacefully, harmoniously. So, I have sort of full conviction. India, over billion populated nation, over billion of population. And you see, India, I think generally speaking, is a quite a sophisticated or quite complicated nation. But religious harmony is wonderful, really wonderful. So since India, over a billion populated nation, is in a difficult, is a complicated nation, religious harmony keep over 1,000 years. So if we make attempt, I think we can develop religious harmony in other countries, rest of the world, in the Middle East. What is that? Shia Sunni fight. And Christian Muslim fighting. And Northern Ireland, Catholic Protestant fighting. These are really, in the name of religion, killing each other. Unthinkable. All religion, the main message is message of love. The Judeo-Christian background is to use concept of creator, one God. If you think seriously about that, seriously or sincerely, then 7 billion human beings are children of God. Brothers, sisters, wonderful. But is it the same God, same Allah fighting, killing each other? Very sad. So now existing religion is not sufficient. Sometimes different religion, the very name of different religion also, you see, causing division, fighting, killing. So now secular way to educate human being, the value of compassion on the basis of scientific finding, as I mentioned earlier. So that I want to share with you. So now too much talk. Now some questions.
Those who have questions, please come forward. We have a mic here.
All right,
please come here. Just stand there.
Yeah.
Yes.
His Holiness, my name is Declan. I'm an actor in Hollywood.
Oh.
And I've waited 28 years to come and meet you. And right now, more than ever in Hollywood, there's a fear in the industry because of China's power. Because of the power in China. And I wanted you to know that as an actor, I am vocal for Tibet, and I am vocal for you. And my question is, at some point, would I be able to have a picture with Your Holiness?
No problem. No problem. Yes. I think if everybody, you see, come to want a picture with me, then I think time not sufficient. But the first person, okay, come.
Just wait there. Wait there.
Yes.
Yeah. One by one. Yes.
Yeah. No. Simple question. Now. Yes.
Tashi Delay, Dalai Lama. Om Mani Padme.
Please ask your question.
Om Mani Padme.
Okay. No question. Question.
I wrote it down last night, Your Holiness.
Use your mic, please.
I speak now on behalf of Your Holiness' return to Potala Palace, where Your Holiness belongs. 60 years is a long time, a very long time, to do good or cause harm to an entire global family. We have seen Your Holiness non-stop going all around, all over the world, for 60 years, exemplifying most highest human values and wisdom and so much more. Yet, sadly, our world leaders don't seem to get it, giving their power to China's ruthless government year after year for 60 long years, pathetically turning into China's puppets. For many of us, citizens of the world, this is an unbearable tragedy, having no more time or patience to endure the corruption, destruction, and cruelty all around. Driven by ignorance, fear, greed, and anger, a large number of world leaders are tolerating the unthinkable. The organized crime is infiltrated in our communities, and our ordinary lives are in unbelievable disguised, twisted manners. Mothers all over the planet are not giving birth and raising their beautiful children to be turned into robots, driven to drugs, alcohol, violence, etc. To be killed in a war games for some. Your Holiness, the time has come for many of us world citizens to stand up for Your Holiness in a global campaign to Your Holiness return to Tibet and the Potala Palace safely. Yes? Yes. Your Holiness, will you guide me and so many of us to make this campaign for your return to the Potala Palace a successful campaign before the end of this year? I hope that you will. Thank you, Your Holiness.
Thank you. Potala Palace, you know, Potala Palace, look from outside, oh, magnificent the building. When we actually live there, no toilet. You have to walk long distance. So not comfortable. But the important is Tibetan culture. Tibetan culture. As I mentioned earlier, ancient time, I think among the Middle East sort of civilization, then India civilization, the Chinese civilization, I think India civilization, I think eventually produced most thinkers. Jainism, I think, very much strict non-violence. And then Buddhism. And before that, Sangha philosophy. Really, great thinkers, great philosopher. I usually describe Buddha. One aspect of Buddha is, for Buddhist, the founder of Buddha, Buddhism. But one aspect, that person is a great philosopher, great thinker. In his teaching, already sort of mentioned quantum physics. One Indian nuclear physicist, late Raja Ramana, once he told me, quantum physics in the West, new concept. But in this country, over 2,000 years, that concept already there. So Buddha, I consider, great philosopher. Then he teaches us the altruism. And then one aspect of Buddha, you know, one of his sort of teaching, he mentioned, oh, my follower, monks, scholars, should not accept my teaching out of faith, but rather thorough investigation and experiment. Oh, yes. Therefore, like Nagarjuna, and some great masters or logicians of Nalanda sort of institution, they rejected some of Buddha's own teaching. If you accept this Buddha's teaching, it goes against the reason. Therefore, we should reject. So, judging from that aspect, I consider Buddha Shakyamuni was ancient Indian scientist. Emphasis on reason, experiment, not faith. Like that. So, India, I think, really produce a lot of thinkers. So now, as I already mentioned, you see, now Nalanda, you can see, just ruined. Some pigeons there. No longer any sort of learning center. So all this knowledge, since 8th century, the Shanda Rakshita of Nalanda Master at the 8th century. He invited to Tibet by Tibetan emperor. Since then, he introduced Buddha Dharma beside Vinaya practice and philosophy, Madhyamika philosophy, and then logic, like Pramana Vartika Karika and Kasa.
Brahmana Samuchaya.
You see, these textbook, you see, translated into Tibetan. Now, actually, in Tibetan language, now translation from India, over 300 volumes. So the 1,000-year-old India's tradition, particularly the Buddhist tradition, I think kept only in Tibetan language. So therefore, you know, the preservation of Tibetan knowledge about Buddhist philosophy, Buddhist logic, that I think not only interest for Tibetan people, but entire, you see, Buddhist country, and then including China. Now today in China, nearly 400 million Buddhist population there. Many Chinese now Buddhist. Now they very much appreciate our knowledge. So many of them follow Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So this politically also, you see, very helpful. Now many top scholars among the Chinese university, you see, now they realize, you see, Tibetan knowledge about Sanskrit tradition is something really authentic. Therefore, even some, you see, Chinese scholar, you see, trying to learn Tibetan. So it's a Tibetan, now these 300 volumes, you know, now these, and Tibetan themselves, you see, commentary, I think at least 10,000 volumes commentary wrote by Tibetan masters. So therefore, it is not serious, you see, not very serious, my just a return. Now because of my age, even go to Ladakh, too high, difficult. So now difficult, go to Potala. So I prefer remain here. Okay. And go to Tibet. Occasionally go to China and meet Chinese Buddhist and go to Tibet a few days. I have to carry some cousin. Chimotong Sakare. Sanju Tobu.
Portable toilet.
Portable toilet. So a few days stay there and meet those Tibetan. I think they really, 6 million Tibetan, very, very faithful. Very faithful. And the Tibetan spirit, you see, over 60 years, the Chinese hardliner, narrow-minded hardliner, you see, they utilize various methods, suppression, killing, torture, brainwash, and give some money, but completely fail. Change Tibetan mind, Tibetan spirit. Very strong. About a few years ago, I received one letter from Tibet. That person used to express, today, politically, China controls us. But future, with Buddha Dharma, we can control China. One Tibetan mentioned that. So after all, at 7th century, from 7th century, you see, many centuries, we live side by side, happily. So now, China, as you mentioned, most populated nation. Historically, Buddhist country. When we visit China, 1954-55, I went to Peking. I think one of my secrets is, during that period, I learned many things from Chairman Mao Zedong himself and also some other the party member. I very much attracted about Marxism. So at that time, I expressed I want to join Chinese Communist Party. So as far as socio-economic theory is concerned, I'm Marxist. But I totally against Leninism. Lenin, Bolshevik Revolution leader, I think because of the circumstances, his way of thinking is very much the wartime mentality. So I think the original pure Marxism, I think thinking concerned about right of working class people, and working class people should be ruler of the country, not kings or queens or religious leader. And then equal distribution. Wonderful, wonderful. But then the Lenin, wartime mentality, wartime suppression, tight control, secrecy, these are relevant, wartime. So Lenin, I think, spoiled original Marxism. So if China, now for example, and the Soviet Union, and now China both, I think, sincerely follow the original Marxism, then how can develop huge gap, rich to poor? Impossible. Like that. So therefore, so while I was in Peking, my relation with Chairman Mao Zedong become very, very close. So he considered me as his son. I consider him as my father. Wonderful. Once I would say, the strange feeling is, at that time, see, some big banquet like that, where Chairman Mao Zedong there, he always called me, sit beside him, and meal together. So, as Chinese tradition, through chopstick, some food from his own because of plate, and give me. So one way, great honor. One way, he very coughing, always, smoke, and coughing. So I really sort of fright, he's some germs of coughing. may enter my body. So in any way, now China, today's China, compare 40 years ago, much changed. During Cultural Revolution and even before, immense destruction about religion, particularly Buddhism. As soon as Cultural Revolution ceased, revival of this thousand-year-old tradition very rapidly revival. Now today, the Chinese number of Chinese Communist Party deep inside Buddhist. It is true. You see, any religion, related with emotion, so through generations, that feeling cannot change by force. Isn't it? Like that. So therefore, I don't worry about China. I think now, as I mentioned earlier, decade by decade, some change already now happening. So we'll see. I think in the next few years, I think some positive change may come. And then after all, we are not seeking independence. since 1974, we decided not seeking independence, not seeking separation, but we committed fully remain within the People's Republic of China, provided what Chinese constitution gives certain right for so-called those minority, and also the Chinese constitution recognize many places as a Tibetan area. So constitution arranged autonomous region of Tibet, autonomous district of Tibet, autonomous prefecture of Tibet, like that. So all these, the constitution recognized so Tibetan area should have same right for preserve our own culture, including Buddhist knowledge and Tibetan language. Now Tibetan language, now I found best language to explain about the sophisticated ancient Indian knowledge about mind, or about sort of the quantum physics. When I met some quantum physicist, then of course I respect them. I really wonderful. I really feel Kasoda, great way, no. Great thing. But in deeper my mind, as far as quantum physics is concerned, I have better knowledge than modern quantum physicists. We study and also practice daily in order to tackle my emotion. As I mentioned earlier, the Raja Ramana, Marie Kasa, Aaron Beck. Aaron Beck, you see, when a person develops anger, the object appears very negative, but 90% of that negativeness is mental projection. That's exactly, you see, Indian philosopher mentioned that. So their philosophy, nothing objectively exists. You see, that the direct sort of harsity, kasuta, counterforce to reduce exaggeration. Now, this respect, recently some Chinese in mainland China, some quantum physicist, one article I heard, you see, mentioned a quantum physicist who believed that, who convinced that, you see, less some kind of kasuta.
Emotional reaction. Emotional reaction.
Too much emotion sort of reaction, less. So now that scientifically now prove. So I myself, you see, daily my practice, one as a Buddhist monk, as a student of Nalanda, one thinking about shunyata, emptiness, nothing independently exists. Everything mere designated thing. Then altruism. These two things, my daily main practice, is really immense help for my sort of peace of mind. And meantime, the thinking, and these not just a single-pointed meditation, but analytical meditation, that really immense help to sharpening my mind. So one joke, you see, recently I met one Indian leader. I think 4 or 5 days we together. So then we become close friend. And then one morning he asked me, how is your sort of kasoda?
Kasa. How did you sleep?
The rest, including sleep. Then I told him, I always 9 hours sleep, always. About 6:30, then next 3:30, wake up. Then at least 4 hours meditation, sharpening my mind so that I can cheat other people more easily. Then he immediately responds, you see, he only 6 hours sleep, so he cannot cheat other people. It's nice, isn't it? Very nice. So like that, these practice I really experienced immensely useful, you see, to reduce the self-centered attitude. And then, destructive emotion, these things. So therefore, not thinking just next life or some other sort of heaven or these things, but day-to-day life, you see, through these practice, really brings peaceful mind. Okay. So, okay. I feel it is very important to keep Tibetan knowledge, which come from India, and for that, Tibetan language is the best language to explain these things precisely.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, all these translated from Sanskrit. So now Sanskrit language is dead language. Few scholar knows, otherwise they no longer sort of kasoda use Sanskrit. Then modern Hindi, no hope. Then English, no hope. So only Tibetan language is the best language to explain these things. So preservation of Tibetan language inside Tibet is very essential. Now more and more Chinese, as I mentioned earlier, pay more attention. So I feel more positive. Yes?
Tashidele gyalo rinpoche. Ngemi lola yin, ani tanda pyoge changge.
Yes. No, question.
Ani nge pyoge yapo mindo sonsang injike.
Yes.
I was wondering, in sutras, there's lists of the different students of the Buddha who are there, and sometimes quite long lists of all the different members. And I was wondering, what is the purpose or what is the use of having all the names cited one by one like this?
I think these just record at that time. So you see the place where Buddha taught, how many sort of monks there are, like that. That's just kasoda record what actually happened there. So these are not important. And even including Buddha's own sort of former life stories, sometimes I'm a little bit skeptical whether true or not. The important is teaching. The teaching, like Buddha's the certain sort of sutra, oh, really wonderful. And then commentary wrote by Nalanda master, like Nagarjuna, really wonderful. So we should emphasize teaching is more important than the teacher.
So according to the principle of reliance, there are four reliances, and one of them is not relying on the person, but the teaching. And then within the teaching, do not rely on the words, but the meaning. And with regard to the meaning, do not rely on the provisional meaning, but the definitive ones. So with regard to this, relying on the definitive teachings, of course there are teachings which, in which the Buddha talks about the conventionalities of things, what we see and hear and so forth, but those are not the teachings pertaining to those, what appears is not the definitive ones, but the definitive ones have to do with the penetrative, developing one's own penetrative insight into the reality of things.
Obviously now, many destructive emotion is very much grasping appearances. So the antidote of that go deeper level than like quantum physics, nothing exists objectively. Okay, thank you.
Just to let your holiness. My question is a slightly personal one. I'm writing a book at the moment called Knowledge of Origin, and I wondered if you have an opinion on, or if the Buddhist tradition has an opinion on why we have chakras and where spiritually that origin might be of chakras.
Kursa.
The chakras.
That's a difficult job. I think Darwin theory, I think more reliable from small sort of insect, then gradually bigger fish, then gradually little sort of, because of that, like forks or like that. Then these looks like a monkey, and then through 1,000 years, gradually some change. Okay. I think due to climate, and then also use some Buddhist sort of what's the explanation, that's we call karma. The change of present due to previous life's certain action. So as far as Sankhyism, or one part of Sankhyism, and then Jainism and Buddhism, life, no beginning. Self, no beginning. So no room of creator. So self-creation. So I think quite similar, the Darwin theory. I think some comparison. And then Abhidhamma Kosha-karika said something about that, now unscientific. For example, the world, the Abhidhamma Kosha-karika mentioned world is flat and in the center of Mount Meru. And then sun and moon, same, more or less same size, and go same level. So these are now, according to scientific sort of as a finding, these are, say, something like, I think, a mental exaggeration. Sometimes I jokingly telling when Bosubandh, great master of Nalanda, and the younger brother of Arya Asanga, so when you see Bosubandh wrote the Abhidhamma Kosha-karika, I also see, learn by heart, you see, that text. So, you see, when he wrote that book, his age, naturally, you see, quite old, so his eyesight not very good. So, one cloudy day, he tried to look size of sun. He found almost same size, moon and sun. So, accordingly, he wrote that. Now scientists are finding, huge sort of differences. Sun is huge, because of distance, very far. So, same, more or less, also the same size. And then Mount Meru, not there. I publicly now mentioning, as the Buddha already permitted us, you see, certain things which I think we can say unscientific, that we have liberty to reject. Like that. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Karina. I'm from Israel. I'm taking part in the Tushita Buddhism introduction. I'm feeling very blessed to be part of this amazing center. And I wanted to ask about We learn in the Buddhism a lot about not to murder and not to take the animals as a part of the planet. And I want to ask, what is the Buddhism opinion about the product of made from animals, about the industry of weather and wolf and milk industry also? And what is the Buddhism opinion?
Kasa. I think like Jainism and Buddhism also, you see, they, although, you see, according to Vinaya, as you know, you see,
Vinaya.
Monk, no sort of private kitchen, go round with begging bowl, so whatever they get, you should accept. You have no right to demand, I need, I want this kind of food, that kind of food. No right. So therefore, Buddhist monk, neither vegetarian nor non-vegetarian, whatever they get, you should accept. Then, like Langa Avatara Sutra, you see, mentioned specifically, we should be vegetarian. So I think from a health viewpoint also now, vegetarianism is very good. So I think we should, Kasoda, encourage the vegetarianism. And occasionally, according to individual's physical condition, then different matter. I think in Tibet, in northern Tibet, Tibetan plateau, no vegetable, no fruit, then something different. Now in India, plenty of vegetable and fruit. So all big monastic institution in India, they are common kitchen now serving vegetarian food. No longer non-vegetarian food. And then also some sort of schools, they are common kitchen also, you see, they voluntarily follow that way. So we are trying to promoting the vegetarian food like that. So it is if physically and suitable, then I think very good vegetarianism. I myself also I think 65 I try to become vegetarian. Then next 20 months, remain strict vegetarian. No egg, of course no fish or nothing like that. And then I develop the gallbladder problem. So whole my body become yellow. So later I jokingly telling people, at that time, I truly become living Buddha. I become yellow, color here, yellow, everything yellow. Not through spiritual sort of experience, but through illness. So at that time, the Tibetan physician, as well as allopathic physician, allopathic medicine, right? Physician, they advised me better to go
back to the
previous sort of diet. Oh. So then occasionally take non-vegetarian food, but generally I remain vegetarian like that. So that illness gives me good excuse. Yes.
Next. Tashi Delay, Kewal Puche. I am Nhân Quang Vo. I born in Vietnam. I was in a strictly Buddhist family. 8 years ago, when I come to U.S. and study Tibetan Buddhism, first time I hear about Nalanda tradition. And actually, major Vietnamese Buddhist doesn't know that term, Nalanda tradition. And I rise up myself in order to help Vietnamese people understand that tradition, what is that, what, where and how it come. And I do a research and write a book. That book is now done with 430 pages based on Tibetan resort histories, based on the tradition right now, people of Tibetan study, based on the record of Huyen Trang and I Ching. And also I go to directly to archaeology place. I make a lot of picture of the inscription, the stone inscription. And I write back the book already. I, because of the supporting for helping for Vietnamese people understand the tradition, I would like to ask your help. So,
Close, quite cold.
So could you please write an introduction letter for my book in order to help Vietnamese a little bit understand about the tradition?
I'm quite windy.
Yeah.
So now I want to remain as a Muslim lady. Oh. Yeah. Really? Oh. That's okay. That's okay. Now I think that actually Chinese Buddhist tradition come from Nalanda. So we Chinese Buddhists, Vietnamese Buddhists, Korean Buddhists, Japanese Buddhists, we all recite Heart Sutra, Prajnaparamita Sutra, Shindaya, like that. So, but the problem or the mistake or something like because the
shortcoming.
A shortcoming is not pay for study, not pay much attention for study. In Tibetan case, at least 20, 30 years study. As I mentioned earlier, I myself see when the ceremony and I'm then Dalai Lama, so put on high throne. I remember like that. When I carry my study, you see, my teacher always keep one whip. You know, whip, right? One yellow whip. Suppose you see the four, holy person. So, a holy person need holy whip, yellow. So then I know there's no difference of holy pain. So out of fear, you see, I study, pay more attention, like that. So therefore, I think Tibetan tradition, I think quite practical. When study come, even the Dalai Lama carry usual way, at least by case, 13 years I study. And then 1958-59, final examination. Then after I came to India, I continuously study like that. So even these days, when I have some leisure time, I always read those books which I study like that. So study is very important. It is not sufficient just to recite some sutra. No, we must study. That's important. One my friend, one Japanese, abbot. He himself, a great scholar, and we become very close friend. So one day he mentioned to me, all Japanese Buddhists recite Heart Sutra, but without knowing meaning. So he appreciate my explanation about that sutra. He very much appreciate like that. So we, at least 20, 30 years study. Now in India, our main monastic institution re-established in southern Tibet. About 10,000 monk students there. They study as our tradition, at least 20 years, then final examination. The one different, after we came to India, I urged all monasteries monk should study. And previously, some monastery just carry some rituals, not serious study. These sort of the kasota, philosophical text or these things. So I urge them. So now almost many of these monastery now paying attention for study rigorously, including debate. Then also nunnery. So as a result, now 2 years ago, the final nuns, kasota, geshima.
Geshima now. It's degree, like a PhD degree.
Nuns also now achieved. Then I now, you see, urging, you see, we Buddhists should be 21st century Buddhist. So that means we should study, through study, we should know that what's the Buddhist philosophy. Just claim I am Buddhist and, you see, recite name of Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, not sufficient. We have to know Dharma. Dharma means transform our mind. Transformation of our mind, not through faith, but through utilize our intelligence. In order to utilize our intelligence, we should know the method. As I already mentioned, you see, these precise knowledge, all these negative sort of emotion is cause. Everything, no absolute, everything interdependence. Interdependence. So therefore, you see, in order to tackle these things, we should know full of knowledge, all the system. Then you get sort of better equipped to deal this destructive emotion. So, some years ago, my friend mentioned Buddhism, particularly Nalanda tradition, Buddhism, not religion, but science of mind. It is quite true. Like that. So, study Buddhist philosophy is very, very important. So your book, I hope, you see, can be, you see, helpful to open our Buddhist master, our Buddhist. So I usually used to telling today's Buddhist should be 21st century's Buddhist. So should full of knowledge, not just carry some sort of state prayer, some ritual, not that way. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now let's Tashi, my precious guru. In one teaching I heard, His Holiness said that in order to fulfill his vision, he needed help, that he needed people who became his hands. So how can we become your hands? How can we better serve you and contribute to the fulfillment of your vision? How can we become his hands like he asked us to contribute to the fulfillment of his vision?
As far as Buddhism is concerned, over 2,000 years, Buddha Dharma keep or teaching of Buddha carried by group of people, Sangha, not individual. So, as I mentioned earlier, we should be 21st century Buddhist. So that means we, each Buddhist, through study and practice, combine these two, knowledge, experience, combine. That way, through that way, there is possibility to transform yourself. And then, that way, the effective way for preservation of a Buddha Dharma. Just empty word. Sometimes some lamas, empty word, and their sort of life sometimes become disgrace. So these are very, very harmful. So without knowledge, we cannot cheating our emotion. Isn't it? So wisdom can cheat then our emotion. So knowledge, very important. But knowledge without practice, without experience, is like you see the kasa, sholor.
Like a currency note.
Currency without sort of backing, then currency, not much, also the value. With sound economy, then currency more sort of weight. So similarly, knowledge with experience, then it truly become something, kasoda, something living. Just the knowledge, lip service, not much use. Okay. So, the study, very important. Thank you.
Yep. Namaste. My question is, you've said before, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. My question is, can you be a little bit more specific about what you mean by this statement? And also, what is the relevance and the role of love for humanity in the future? That we're heading into right now.
Irrespective whether religious-minded or not. We are human being. We are social animal. Now the highly developed technology with the help of science, now power of destruction is immense. Although war is part of human history, but ancient time, not that much destructive. Now the power of destruction is immense. So therefore, now we really need compassion on the basis of sense of oneness of human being. Now that, if we want happy world, peaceful world. Peace will not come from prayer. I think over few thousand years, we always pray. Buddhists pray to Buddha. also Judo Christian or Islam also, you simply God, Allah, Allah, peace, peace, peace. I think not satisfactory result come. Sometimes the people fighting each other, killing each other, pray to God. I think then God may be confused. His blessing should go this side or that side. So now, I think I always say, if Buddha come, or Jesus Christ come, or Muhammad come, if you ask, please bring peace on this planet, then I think they may say, who created violence? Not by God. If sort of violence created by God, then we have to ask God. But since the problem, violence, we created, so it is our responsibility, not pray to God, but through our effort to reduce this violence. Family level, community level, then finally, global level. Now I think we, human beings, I think although the 20th century and now 21st century, I think reality much changed. The interdependency now much kasuta alive, right? In ancient time, different nation more or less self-sufficient. Now today, East, their future depend West. West, their future depend East. Similarly, South depend North, North depend East. And then on top of that, the climate condition, global warming, no national boundary, no religious boundary. So now that's the new reality. So now the old thinking, century old our thinking, whenever some different views or different interests come, then we think how to solve this by force. That's old thinking. Now today's world, heavily interdependent, you see, through force, you cannot solve a problem. The problem, the proper way to solving problem is through dialogue. So I usually describe this 21st century should be century of dialogue. So different interests, different view always remain there. So long we human beings remain there, differences always there. So the only thing is, they also human brothers, sisters. We also human brothers, sisters. We have to solve this problem through mutually agreeable solution. That's the only way. So thinking, use force, is outdated. So sometimes I feel the use force mobilize people is part of the feudal system. The feudal system, kings or queens or even sometimes religious leaders, see, then they mobilize army, disregard individual's life. Now today's world is a democratic world. So some individual, you see, go a different way, then we call totalitarian system, totalitarian, bad. So they become like king or queen and give order. So basically, democratic sort of world. So they, one individual give order, thousands of people go to war, kill other, is, I think, old thinking. The thinking of feudal system. So that outdated, I feel. Now we are democratic sort of, the time of democracy. So people are ruler. So individual soldier, they love their own life. One single person order go to war, kill other, and your life should sacrifice. I don't think. That's old thinking. So only thing, through talk, through dialogue, try to find mutual equitable solution. That's the only way.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have the last question, please. Yeah.
Yes,
sorry.
Your Holiness, I'm a common guy from Albania and I came here to take an advice from you. How can I help a person, Albania? How can I help a person?
Albania.
How can I help a person who is stuck in his ignorance, who does every day waste his life doing nothing, just watching television, alcohol, smoking, and he doesn't allow help from outside? How can I help this mind to see that what he's doing is wasting his precious human rebirth? And I have a favor to ask. Can I shake your hand as a token of thank you?
Hold on. I think firstly, as I mentioned earlier, the individual level is we can share other people. It's a real peace come through some change of mental attitude. And then some cases I feel NGO, for health, for you can use, I think, the name, inner peace of mind. You see, not talking about religion, simply, you see, use, you see, our intelligence and anger. What use anger just to destroy our own peace of mind? You see, through anger, the problem will increase. Only through understanding mutual equitable solution, mutual respect, that's the only way. So you can develop some kind of NGO. Firstly, even 10 people, 15. You see, you can develop some kind of organization. And then carry, should not think about name or publicity. Sincerely, then more and more people, I think, appreciate. Then your work become more effective. And then occasionally, some article in newspaper and some talks in television, in media people. I think that's the way, which I do. So we are same. We are same. Okay. Shake hand.
Thank you. I give you the talk.
Thank you. So, now, even I think about 1,000, right? 1,000 human, 1,500 human brothers, sisters, please think we all, as a part of the humanity, we all have, is it the same responsibility, and also the one's own future, humanity, happy, peace, we individual also get maximum benefit. If humanity, more fear, more distrust, then we individual also suffer. So I usually describe taking care oneself is right. So, but we should be wise selfish rather than foolish, narrow-minded selfish. Okay. So, thank you.
Come on.